from Isaiah. And Isaiah, in particular, if we look at Isaiah 25, 8, and 9, we see kind of the state of Israel before we get to the New Testament. And in 25 and 8, we have, "He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. And it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation." You see, the Old Testament is full of dozens of prophecies of the coming of Christ. If we were to look at just a few, in Psalms 2:7, we have a prophecy that Christ will be the Son of God. That was fulfilled in Luke 1:32. In Genesis 3:15, we have that it'll be the seed of a woman. And that's fulfilled in Galatians 4:4. We have as the seed of Abraham in Genesis 17:7 and 22:18. And fulfilled in Galatians 3:16. As the seed of Isaac in Genesis 21:12. And fulfilled in Hebrews 11:17 and 19. As the seed of David in Psalms 132:11. And Jeremiah 23:5. And fulfilled in Acts 13:23 and Romans 1:3. His coming at a specific time, we see in Genesis 49:10 and Daniel 9:24 and 25. And that was fulfilled in Luke 2:1. His being born of a virgin, Isaiah 7:14, fulfilled in Matthew and in Luke, chapters 1 and chapters 2 respectively. His being called Emmanuel in Isaiah 7:14 and fulfilled in Matthew 1 and 22. His being born in Bethlehem, the Ephrath of Judea, prophesied in Micah 5:2 and fulfilled in Matthew 2:1. His being joined by great persons that come to adore him, Psalm 72:10 and fulfilled in Matthew 2:1-11. Even the killing of the children in Bethlehem at the time of his birth was prophesied in Jeremiah 31:15 and fulfilled in Matthew 2:16. His being called out of Egypt in Hosea 11:1 and being fulfilled in Matthew 2:15. And as he grew older, being preceded by John the Baptist in Isaiah 43, and Malachi 3:1, fulfilled in Matthew and Luke. See, the Old Testament, that's just a few of the prophecies of the coming of Christ, the Messiah, the first time. And as we get here towards Christmas, we reflect back on that first coming of Christ as a man. If you turn with me to Luke chapter 2, in particular, 2 and 21. You see, Israel was in a state of waiting. They were waiting for Christ to come. Now, this wasn't waiting for a few weeks. This was waiting hundreds of years. And many of these prophecies that I read for you were more than 400, even more than 1,000 years prior to Christ actually coming. So they'd been waiting a while. One of them that waited, his name was Simon. And we're going to read about him for a second. Luke chapter 2 and 21. "And when 8 days were completed for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Now when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were completed, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God, saying, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles, and glory, and the glory of your people." And Joseph and his mothers marveled at those things which were spoken of him. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "Behold, this child is destined for the fall and rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed." Simon was waiting. The Holy Spirit had promised him he would remain alive till he saw the coming of the Messiah, to see the prophecies fulfilled that I read from you from Isaiah earlier, that they were waiting for the coming of the Lord to bring salvation. Now, we don't know how old Simon was, but we know that he was ready to go. "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace, according to your word." He was waiting for Christ to come. And Christ came humbly. He came as a child. And this time of the year, we celebrate how Christ came. But we can be tricked by this. Just as much as we can be tricked by thinking back to the past too much and not looking to what's ahead and what's now. You see, Christ did come. He came as an infant. He came to Bethlehem. He's not going to come that way again. And while we can remember that, we've got to understand that if we present just that to the world, that's how they think Christ will come again. And therein lies the deception. That somehow there'll be another baby in a manger in the future. And there won't be. That time has come and passed. Revelations 5. If you would turn with me. You see, we're not in the Old Testament anymore. We're not waiting for Christ to come in Bethlehem. He came. But what are we waiting for? We're waiting for Christ to return. But how? Revelations chapter 5. And I gotta find it here, get my fingers to work. "And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?' And no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out unto the earth. Then he came and he took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. You see, Christ's return won't be to us in a manger. It won't be to us with some star that the shepherds and the wise men will follow, and that we'll hear heavenly chorus and psalms and "O Holy Night" sung out. That's not how the second coming will be. You see, when Christ comes back and he appears for the first time in Revelation here, he comes to open the seals, to break the seals, not the seals of some joy and peace on earth that we sing about, but the seals of judgment upon earth. We're at a time now where we feel the effects of being sheltered in the Midwest, the effects of being sheltered in the Bible Belt. And we tend to think that this is how the world is. That we all get together once a year and we celebrate the birth of Christ, and we all know what's going to happen when he comes back. But that's not the case. We think that Christmas is a time of family and love and people getting together across the world to show that. But the times have changed. November 26, 2013, 50 billboards are put up in Sacramento, California. That's less than a month ago. Those billboards read, "I believe in people, not gods. Integrity and compassion require no gods. Believe in humanity, not God." That's here in the United States. That's today. Those billboards are shining over the streets of Sacramento as we gather here. October 17th, 100 extremists tried to storm the Catholic school of Maria Auxiliadora in Merida, Spain, while 1,100 students attended class. With loudspeakers, they surrounded the school and shouted, "Where are the priests? We want to burn them at the stake. Give us more public schools and less crosses." That's today. That's the time we live in. November 23rd, 2013, 7,000 feminists attacked the cathedral at San Juan, where 1,500 young Catholics surrounded it, protecting it and praying, as this feminist group spit on them topless, took markers and drew Hitler mustaches on them, and spray-painted their eyes. Spray-painted swastikas all about them, and burned effigies of the Pope. That's now. December 7th, 2013, the House of Commons in Parliament asked for the results of a study on what is the most persecuted religion in the world. And the results came back. The study pointed at this time in the world, one Christian is killed every 11 minutes. By the time I finish this sermon, three Christians will have been killed in the name of Jesus Christ, even on this Sunday, even on Christmas Day. In Sudan, for example, 2 million Christians have been killed in the last 30 years alone. Not only is it illegal, it's judged harshly. Those that aren't killed are sold into slavery for being Christian. Are we like Simon? Are we at the point where we're being held here to wait? Wait for the coming of Christ so that we can deliver a message to the few that are still willing to hear it? Will we spend this time celebrating just a baby in a manger? Will that bring anybody to the cross? What are we waiting for? What is to come? I read for you how the Lamb will open the scroll. But if you turn with me to Revelation 19, we can see how the world will see Christ, many for their very first time. Revelation 19:11. Now I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he who sat on him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and makes war. His eyes were like flames of fire, and on his head were many crowns. He had a name written that no one knew except himself. He was clothed with a robe dripped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, followed him on white horses. Now out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should strike the nations, and he himself will rule them with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepresses of the fierceness of wrath of the Almighty God, and he has on his robe and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. No, Christ will not come back as a baby wrapped in swaddling clothing. He won't come back as a peaceful infant sleeping away. Christ will come back with the full wrath of God. And that may be the first time the world will see any of him. And we deceive ourselves and we deceive the world if we only promote an image of him coming on how he already came. What do they have to fear from a baby in a manger? Yes, he is the Prince of Peace. But that peace is the reconciliation of us to God. It is a peace between us and God because he paid for our sins and we accept it. But I fear we've commercialized this so much that we forget that our role here on earth is not to prophesy of how he came as a baby, but what he did. Because when he comes back, it'll be too late. So as you're spending time with your family, with your friends in this time of celebration for Christ coming as a baby, understand the urgency. If I ask my cousins, if I ask my friends, what do they think of Christ in this time of the year? Is that going to lead them to salvation? Is it going to give them a sense of urgency? From the time that Christ was born to the time that he started his ministry with John the Baptist was over 30 years. Do people think they have that time available to them? When the skies open up and Christ comes down, there won't be a delay. There won't be time for the world to go, okay, now I need to get my act together. Because when he comes down, he brings war at that time. The time to prepare the world is now. The time to talk with the lost is now. Even when we go back to Simon, in Luke 2:29, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and glory of your people of Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of them. Then Simon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, behold, this child is destined for the fall and the rising of many in Israel, and for a sign which will be spoken against. Yes, a sword will pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. We're to present Christ to pierce the hearts of the lost, so that the intent of their soul is revealed. Christ himself said, I didn't come to bring peace. I came to bring the sword. Yes, we are sheltered here in the Bible Belt. But if you don't see it coming, open your eyes. One Christian is killed every 11 minutes. And like Christ said, do not be surprised by this. They hated me first. He brings truth. And he won't sugarcoat it this next time. He won't hide it in parables. Mankind will either bow down at his feet or be slain in front of it. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises in the Old Testament of the coming of your Son. And this season, we celebrate you keeping those promises. But remind us, Lord, that you made more promises. And this next time, Lord, should move us move us to action. So that when you return, Lord, and we join you at our side, at your side, Lord, grant us that wisdom, that strength, that right word, so that when you look to us, we can say, we did what you asked of us. We presented you to the world. Heavenly Father, you are the Prince of Peace. You're the Prince of Reconciliation. And we thank you for that. God, we ask for mercy upon the souls of those that are in our family, our friends, and the strangers that you put in our path. We ask for your mercy upon them, that you grant them time to hear your word. Enough time to understand they don't have much time. We ask for these things in your precious name. Amen.